Aloha, everyone. Many blessings. Is Nick and Taylor here right now?
Aloha.
Taylor, how are you doing?
Very well. And you?
Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. Michelle and I just returned from the beach. Thinking about this call, looking forward to talking to all our new superheroes and just welcoming everyone who's here and saying hello to everyone who's just joined the program. We're very, very happy to have you in this wonderful vortex, aren't we, Taylor?
Thrilled. Yeah, it's just a really special, special time and a special opportunity to take everything to the next level of wonderfulness.
Yes, what a blessing. And so people are joining the call now. You can see people getting on, saying hello. And for anyone who's new and not sure how this works, well, just quick recap. You can, if you have any questions, there's two ways of asking us questions. Before the call, you can put them in that little questions box that we send out as an email. But when we're on the call, there's a little question box. If you're on your computer, you can type in your question, press submit, and we can see all your questions. It's a very fun little thing. And if you are on the phone and you want to ask us a personal question, then we can do that as well. You just need to press star 2 to raise your hand, and we can see that you want to say something, and then we can unmute you. So that's two ways to connect with us, and we love to hear people's feedback interactions, because this is ultimately a group experience, so the more we all talk with each other, the better. So we're all for that, and feel free to ask any questions you want related to the training. And if you're on the phone, press star 2, and we'll talk to you personally. If you're on the computer, you can put your question in the box, press submit, and then we can see your question. So, hopefully that makes sense. And I just wanted to actually pass the phone to Michelle. Michelle, this morning, she came all the way from the East Coast recently, and she was, this morning, I was talking to her, she's here at the moment, and she was in the kitchen jumping around and being all stoked, and I was very, very, very deeply touched and moved by Michelle's latest transformations. Michelle's been working with us for, I think, about a year now, and she's gone through all kinds of transformations, and she's really, really put the work in and come out the other end really well, and of course, she's growing and evolving all the time. But what happened today was a huge, 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 huge transformation. And I think this is one of the most primary and foundational significant transformations a human being can make. And I really feel that for the rest of the day, I'm personally going to be celebrating Michelle's transformation. I look forward to celebrating anyone else's transformation who has this level of change in their life, because this is a huge and significant thing. So Michelle, I'm going to hand this over to you, just to share what that actually is and how that came about and what it means to you.
Aloha, superheroes. Hello, hello. So, yeah, what was happening for me is lately I was noticing that I was just becoming stressed and I was losing my peace. And it's just, you know, things that happen to us in life, situations, things we do, people we come into contact. And finally, last night, I don't know, I just had a Satori, which is also known as an awakening. And I said, you know what, I'm just tired of feeling like this. I'm tired of feeling stressed out. This is not how I normally feel. And I refer back to Abraham Hicks. They always talk about your emotional guidance system and how that will lead you in the right direction. And that has always worked for me. And that just came to mind. And I said, you know what? I'm out of alignment with how I normally feel, which is highly energetic, vibrant, thriving, joyful. and this song started to come into my head. It's a song by an artist. Her name is Kim English. She's a house music vocalist. And the song is called Unspeakable Joy. And it just started playing in my head. And a line from the song goes, joy, unspeakable joy, because they did not give it, they cannot take it away. And I just contemplated that for a minute. I said, you know what? Joy doesn't come from anything. It doesn't come from material possessions. It doesn't come from other people. It doesn't come from anything that I accumulate in life. It comes from within. That's my inherent gift. And I need to claim this gift for myself and be joyful. And so I got out a piece of paper, and I wrote that line down from the song. And I stuck it on my desk, and I said, you know, in the morning I'm going to color it, jazz it up, and then put it on my vision board to remind me of that. And I went to sleep, and when I woke up, just things started to come back. You know how it is, you go to sleep, and then all that stuff resurfaces and lingers around, and I felt it again. And I saw that on my desk, and I was like, no, you know what, I'm done with this. And I've done that before in other situations in my life, you know, from saying, you know, I claim that I will no longer live in poverty consciousness anymore, you know, those sort of things. I've claimed that before to the universe. I said, I'm done with this. And I said, yeah, I'm done with this. I'm not going to do this anymore. And so immediately when I felt that trigger coming on, I looked up that song on YouTube and I put it on, and it just started dancing around first thing in the morning. And it was so great to just dance out that sort of energy and just say, you know what, I'm done with this. I'm claiming to just be happy. I'm over it. And it was extremely empowering to know that nothing outside of me can ever affect me. It's how I choose to react to that. And when I learn my lessons in life, these things that trigger me will no longer do that. And so I feel like, or hopefully, that I've passed my test. Because with anything in life, if you don't pass that test, you will go back over and over and over to learn it, as I have experienced before. So today was just extremely liberating, and I feel so free, grateful, and appreciative. And that's my story on this. That's really what I have to say. So thank you so much for listening to me. I just want you to know that whatever's going on in your life, that that's possible for you too. We all have that power within us.
Yay. That's right. And I think that's wonderful, because we can say, oh, when this thing changes, when this person's different, when something, then I'll be happy, or then I can be in joy. And we can live our whole lives waiting around for that to happen. Or we can make that decision and say, my joy, my happiness, my bliss, my feeling good factor is top priority, and claim it. And ultimately, that's just a choice that happens in the moment. And I think a lot of people are putting that off their whole lives. Once they've achieved this thing, once they've changed this thing, once this person's different, then. And it's just always one thing after another. And then they're 60, 70, 80 years, and they're still doing it. And then, you know, into the next life and the next life, it's just endless. So I highly encourage everyone to really make this commitment to themselves. And this is a deep thing. It normally comes after a damn good kicking for most of us. You know, we get sort of thrashed about through life, and then we go, you know what, I can complain and be, stressed out for the rest of my life, or I can just choose to be in joy. Doesn't mean we don't change things, doesn't mean we don't act, but it means that we're choosing to be happy and be grateful, you know. So I think that's a huge, huge, huge lesson, and, you know, words don't do it justice, really. This is it's a very deep inner state. It's a complete change of attitude, and something actually we have to commit to regularly. We make these big commitments, and then maybe we get a bit slack, and then we do it again, and that's just the way it goes. So, Taylor, anything you want to share about that wonderful, magical topic? Yay.
Yes, well, first of all, really congratulations, Michelle. That's going to make everything look very different. And, just the other day I saw this great poster that said, someday is not a day of the week. And, you know, it's so true that people, excuse me, they have this idea that there is a someday, that it's all going to come together. It's all going to occur. You know, when they get out of college, that's when everything happens. When they find the perfect partner, well, then that's when they'll really be happy and fulfilled and satisfied, or the perfect job, or, and then it just keeps, they keep, kind of keep adding to that. You know, then it's like when you, the kids leave the house, you know, after the kids are grown up and leave the house, so that's when it all comes in, when you get retired. And like, yeah, the idea of living that this is all there is and how do you want to spend it, and it's an obvious answer to that question, is that you want to be in joy. You know, that's the obvious question. The illusion that there is even such a thing as time is what keeps us in this, really in, suspended in that what is happening right now doesn't actually matter, because we may be suffering now, but we know that there's going to be a time when we aren't, someday in the future. So, you know, I'm really, it's what's interesting about this year is because everything is moving so fast and compressing everything to where we're really being called on to get very clear about what does matter and what do we want to spend our energy and time and focus on. Because, you know, if you're looking, if you're kind of, you know, right now it's what, like, we've gone through a whole month. To me it feels like at least 6 months of the year have occurred, and maybe even more. I mean, you know, it's like a month, wait a minute, what? So, and that's, and it hasn't even really kicked in. You know, once spring starts rising, then it's even going to become more accelerated. And so the idea of really, like, bringing your conscious awareness to choosing how it is you want to be in life, in your day, is really the role of a superhero right now. More, I mean, it's always been that role, but now more than ever is what just the nature of the energetics are calling us to do in a really profound way. And so I really appreciate Michelle sharing that, because you know, it can just be just like that. I mean, we're living in a time where a complete 180 degree shift of your life can occur by virtue of your saying so. I mean, it always could, but there's so much support for it now and agreement. Like now everyone's like, oh, okay, yeah, I want to do that. And the world is really, I mean, everywhere I see that happening. It's, like, incredible. I mean, Dr. Oz coming out on TV and telling people, you know, hey, you know what, I'm a heart surgeon, and I'm just here to tell you, meat and dairy are really not at all a good idea. You know, I mean, it's like, wow, what? Jeez, oh, man, that's pretty shocking. So I just feel like now everywhere I turn is our Michelle's, declaring something or another that is just a complete and total inspiration. And mind you, that's what I'm looking for. You know, that's kind of what my vector is set on. But, you know, I just really appreciate that it can be just as simple as Michelle shared about. And, you know, we do tend to make things more complex, but it really just can be that simple. And that's just a beautiful example.
Okay. And of course everyone here can make that decision right now, whenever they want. You know, Michelle just happened to do that this morning, but you could do it right now. Anyone can, we all can, whenever we want. And 2012, I'm sure you're feeling it, is heating up, things are getting more intense, things are getting faster. It's not just speculation that things are heating up. We're feeling it, everyone's feeling it, even though we're here in Hawaii right now, and it would have seemed that it's all very mellow in some way, but we've just had some storms happening, there's all these leaves blowing all over the place, it's all kind of crazy stuff been going on. Everyone's getting it in one way or another, and I just wanted to share a few things, like how I think we can really benefit from these calls is, first of all, just sharing some of these essential things, reminding ourselves of the essentials, because we can all get caught up in in details. And that's not really the point, because when it comes down to it, there's only a few things that really make the difference. And it's applying those things again and again and again and again and again that makes the biggest difference. And like the Shaolin monks, they practice the same moves. They become experts in different moves, and they do the same thing thousands and thousands and thousands of times. And so they are absolutely lethal and expert in their own particular way because of, again and again and again and again and again, mastering something. And I think a lot of people in today's world, with all these millions of self-help books and millions of programs, are kind of jack of all trade, master of none, and just know all kinds of theory and read all the half of one book and a bit of another book and a forward of another book and did a retreat with some person and just scattered, and no real depth. So for the superheroes, for you guys, for all of us, each one of us, we need to really just understand the basics and practice the basics until we've gained mastery. And I've been on the spiritual path 15 years, practicing pretty much the same things and refining the same things for years and years and years. And I'm very grateful that I have, because the kind of levels of peace and states of consciousness that I can access now with ease are a result of a tremendous amount of hours. And I read this great book recently called Outliners by Malcolm Gladwell. Outliners by Malcolm Gladwell. And he was mentioning the 10,000 hour rule. He basically said that anyone who becomes an expert in any area, whether it's music, artists, you know, writers, you know, engineers, managers, anything, doesn't matter what it is, generally speaking, or all actually consistently across the board, they put in at least 10,000 hours of that particular kind of activity. And then they became an expert. I mean, of course, they got better and better and better. But to really get good at something, putting in the time really is where it pays off. And so I want to encourage everyone, I want to encourage you listening right now to have that attitude of mastery, of not just being impatient and giving up too easily. Mastery, mastery, mastery. It takes time. It takes patience. You know, deep personal change isn't something that you can take a quick pill and then that's the end of it. You can make a decision in a second, like what Michelle was saying, but to be honest, the fact she said that right now is because of hours and hours and hours and hours of getting ready for this before that, you know. So just when we have this attitude of having patience and practicing the basics, that's the best and most powerful and most graceful approach towards this deep, deep, deep spiritual work that you're doing. And then you can love and accept yourself and have patience. I think it's very important to understand what we're dealing with here, because this isn't fast food spirituality. This is real deep nourishment, and it takes time. And that doesn't mean that it's going to be hard work. It just means that we love and appreciate ourselves and realize the kind of degree of journey that we're on and enjoy it, you know, and really cherish each step along the way of our beautiful journey. And so just a few basic things to remind us all. One of the most important things, as far as I can tell, is even though there's stuff in our lives that we want to change, I have stuff that I'd like to improve in my life in various ways. I'm sure you do. Everyone has all this stuff, and it's human nature. There's always going to be something we want to improve. There we go. The chickens agree with me. So we all want to change something. We always will, and that's perfectly all right. But I feel it's very, 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 very extremely essential that we have gratitude for what good things are going on in our lives. So I'd just like to take a few moments now, just a few breaths, and just to encourage you to just consider all the things that are working for you, that are good in your life. What are the good things in your life? Just take like three deep breaths and just comprehend the things, the main things that we're grateful for in our lives, because it just shifts the energy completely. And we can all do this anytime, or we can focus on negative things. So let's just choose, take a few breaths, and just really enjoy and appreciate the gratitude. Gratitude for some things that we love. Just bringing those things into mind and saying thank you in your heart for those things in your life, whatever they are. Thank you in your heart, deep in your heart. Oh, wonderful. The feast for kings and queens, the breakfast for kings and queens, is to have a gratitude list in the morning. The more we wake up in the morning and just write down everything we're grateful for, the better our life is. And this mantra of thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, something that I have going around in my mind and in my heart every day, hundreds if not thousands of times. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. The more I say thank you, thank you, thank you, the more you say thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you to life and to all the good things in your life, the more joy you have. It's so, so, so simple. And so just that in itself is 90% of the work done. If we can just focus our attention on being grateful for our lives, because then we start to attract other good things and it just happens naturally. So just thank you, thank you, thank you. Seeing things that are wonderful, focusing on things that are wonderful. And most of the time there's so many things in our life that are good, but the ego has what's called a problem-seeking probe, and it looks around for all the problems. The ego is looking for problems. And it's our responsibility as superheroes to look for solutions and to just basically focus on gratitude. Because one thing I find fascinating, and I hope you realize this, that according to studies on the brain and how we perceive things, right now, you're experiencing 10 million bits of information. There's so much information coming in through your senses, 10 million bits. But your conscious mind, what you're actually aware of consciously, is only 40 bits. So 10 million to 40. And that's the equivalent of, you know, if you look down the space underneath your feet, you know, you'll imagine a footprint on the beach versus something like 11 miles square. That's how much we're consciously aware of compared to what we're not aware of. And so how come we're editing out all this stuff? You know, what we're seeing, what we're experiencing in our day-to-day life, moment to moment, is this hugely, hugely edited version of what actually is going on. And it's our responsibility to make a commitment to start focusing on what we can see that is wonderful and get rid of this problem-seeking probe that is creating an editing inside of us that sees problems all the time, because there's so much else, there's so much magic, there's so many miracles, there's so much wonder, there's so much beauty everywhere, constantly, if we choose to see it. And the more we choose to see it, the more we start experiencing it, and then the more it gets bigger and bigger and bigger, the more gratitude we have, and we create a snowball effect of more and more and more magic and wonder and joy in our lives. And so it's absolutely essential to really recognize that anything we see is just a very edited version of reality, and we can choose to focus on that, and it completely changes the course of our lives and what we attract. And so that's just, you know, that's just that in itself is enough to take the pressure off, you know, because if you've got hot water, you've got a roof over your head, that's something to be massively grateful for. A lot of people in the world haven't even got that. So we just need to come back to the basics and really be in that appreciation and move from that space. Anything you want to say about that, Taylor?
I think that's well said, Mr. McIntosh.
Wonderful. So we're going to take some questions in a minute, but and if you have any questions, by the way, and you've just joined the call, then feel free to put them in the box, because we'd love to hear your questions. If you want to talk to us on the phone, just press put your hand up, pressing star 2. Just another thing to just mention around this, some of the basic things, is we have the ability to take 100% commitment for our lives, 100% responsibility. And this is another one of those things that is absolutely life-changing. That one thing completely changed my life. And I said, you know what? If something isn't right in my life, if something I don't feel good about, I am completely, totally, and 100% responsible personally. Once I started saying that to myself and stopped blaming other people and stopped complaining about things and just took responsibility for my own state of being, my whole life totally changed. I felt like I claimed back all my power. And again, that's the decision that we can make in the moment. So these are simple, basic things, but they are absolutely, fundamentally life-changing. And you know, most of the world, if Napoleon Hill's book, Outwitting the Devil, is all accurate, he reckons that 98% of the world is drifting and essentially not taking responsibility for their lives and are basically dominated by negativity. And it's our personal responsibility to snap out of drifting around and having automatically negative thoughts and having problem-seeking probe thoughts and all this drama, and take responsibility, focus on gratitude, and really just allow miracles to happen. But it comes back to this taking 100% responsibility for everything. And and it includes everything. You know, if someone in my life has a problem and they're in my space and they're having some trouble, I can't say, oh, that's just their problem, it doesn't matter. I have to do something about it one way or another, you know. It really extends out into everything. And it's a very deep point and something that we keep coming back to again and again and again and again and again. And another thing, just a quick brief recap, because we go into this in the training in great detail, but just a quick recap in case we forget these things, because it's amazing how the ego likes to forget the basic things for some reason. So another thing that's absolutely essential is we as human beings are influenced to some degree by the outside world. And we also have the ability to choose our environment to a large degree most of the time. And if we surround ourselves with things that are uplifting to us on purpose, it makes a huge difference. And we have that choice. So, you know, you could watch a movie that brings your energy down, or you could do something else that brings your energy up, you know. You could choose to have a two-hour-long conversation with someone you don't like and go into gossip and complaining, or you could choose to not have that conversation and do something else. You could choose to unconsciously eat a bunch of junk food that you know that is not particularly joyful experience once you've come through the other side, or you could choose not to do that and eat something else. And so the more we have beautiful music, beautiful conversations, expose ourselves to beauty, appreciate beauty, clean our environment, you know, remove the clutter in our lives, clear things out, the more we do that consciously, the more our whole life is surrounded with beautiful things. And we have so many opportunities to make our lives more wonderful every day. You know, just tidying stuff, removing things, saying no to certain situations, saying yes to other situations. So when we take that on and we surround ourselves with beauty, we start looking for beauty, we start, you know, changing what we do, how we do it, we have so many things we can do in a given day. And it can either bring us up, give us more power, give us more strength, or it can bring us down. And at the end of the day, having the best day ever is just an attitude of committing to having the best day ever, being grateful, and choosing certain things. I mean, it's really, really simple. But it comes back to that moment-to-moment choice and that deep, deep, deep commitment to our own personal joy on a regular basis. So you might think, well, this is all pretty straightforward stuff, but it's like a matter of applying it. It's the applying of it and the commitment to doing it in the face of adversity and really sticking with it and becoming masters of our mind, masters of our decisions in those moments where we can either get triggered and go in a downward spiral and deciding to change that and to go in an upward spiral. There is a magic moment where we could go down or we could go up, and if we can catch ourselves and choose the direction we want to go, and we do that regularly, we live in a completely different world than we would have done. And this is very, 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 very personal thing. And it's a second by second, moment by moment choice. This is the power that you have. So, anyway, Brother Nick, any comments? I know we have Uncle Nick on the phone. Well, I'm sure Brother Nick will come on in a minute. So let's just take a few questions. If anyone has any questions live, feel free to put them in the magic little box. Thank you, Dorothy, for your latest comments. Much love and blessings. Appreciation. And we actually have a question here from Dorothy from before. Dorothy is wondering about and this is just general information for everyone as well. When you do the training, because everyone's at different places on the training, when you begin the training, we send you lots of emails and there's lots of little lessons and setting yourself up and all these kind of things just to get you on the right track. Then you get a session every week for the first, I think, nine weeks. Every 7 days, there's a new session. Then after that, people were telling us that the information is so powerful and so packed that they needed a bit more time to implement the things that we were talking about. So what we decided to do, based on feedback, was to space the sessions out rather than being every 7 days to every 10 days after the ninth session so that it gives a bit more space for you to implement the ideas. Because let's remember that the whole point of this training isn't just to watch a bunch of videos and, you know, listen to things and be intellectually stimulated. The point of the training is to really apply this stuff, integrate it into your lifestyle so that you have a very refined, magical way of living your life. So we wanted to give a little bit of extra space, extra time for you to actually go through that process. And so we spaced the videos out after the ninth session so that it's 10 days in between the videos. If anyone ever has any problems with getting access to things, then you can just put a ticket into the help desk and we'll help you out. Sometimes weird glitches happen for some reason, but if you used to get them once a week and then they come a little bit later, we did that on purpose so that there's can be more time for implementation. And just remember, like, if anything does happen with technical issues or something, yeah, we'll take care of that, don't worry. But the main thing is always apply what you know. You know, I remember some of the spiritual teachings I study, you know, there's these different things that people read every day and there's all this stuff. And some people used to get obsessed that, how come I didn't get my daily thing? Where's this thing? I want it. Where is it? And the teachers used to say, what did you learn yesterday and have you applied that yet? You know, because chances are we haven't probably applied the stuff we learned yesterday properly anyway, you know, because there's always refinement. So if anything does happen, we'll take care of it. But main thing is to apply. Practice until it becomes a natural way of being and really put in those 10,000 hours, because that's the magic number. So hopefully that helps Dorothy and anyone else who wondered why sometimes the sessions changed and there's a little bit more of a gap. So, we will just take any more questions. So, let me just look at the list here. Okay. All right. So we got one from Angela in London. Hello, Angela, from Hawaii. I remember London. London's a magical place. So Angela's asking, aloha, and thank you for this wonderful gift of the superhero training. Blessed brothers, what are your feelings about the subject of so-called psychic attack? And if one feels that they or their family are under attack, what practical steps could one take? And then are there any techniques that one could implement about psychic attacks? Also, as a superhero bringing the light, do we need to be more vigilant on such things? Much love, Angela. Yay, what a powerful question.
What was that last bit?
Last bit was, as a superhero bringing the light, do we need to be more vigilant on such things?
Okay, can I answer that first?
Go for it, yeah.
Wow. It's an amazing question. So the psychic warfare is as real as any physical warfare going on in the world. And we could discuss and argue and press for far more significant if we wanted to. So we know it's a fact of the psyche, and it's a realm that has to be overcome. All the mythologies, the ancient stories, the Bhagavad Gita, all of the mythologies in the Bible are, you know, they communicate that kind of a thing. So it's a very real and a very deep subject that you need to become more powerful than. You see what I mean? You see, what we do, I'm sure you're noticing, anyone who's listening to this who can understand what we're actually saying, I'm sure you're experiencing, you know, just such powerful wisdom. And it helps us organize our psyche. And that is really where the soul's power is. All the great yogis have told us this, all the great philosophers, and anyone that's pointed at anything of any real power points to the soul. And so if we can put all of this into a soul context, and we can use our imaginations, and this is something that we really stress very, very strongly, and I'd like the keynote of this seed thought, that really is where you get the bombs. You see, the true wisdom, the truthful teachings from the masters were always handed down verbally to the children, to the students, the younger students in the big school, initiators and the storytellers, you see, would verbally pass on these gems of wisdom, and you get them in superhero training. Brother Michael just laid the whole thing down there with gratitude. That was like, that's it. You see? So there's one already in this, just this one single core, priceless jewel of wisdom. And here's another one. The mythology, the mythological stories, the archetypal tales, all present a map, a terrain of your mind. And so in order for us to overcome these incredibly, let's not sugarcoat it in any way, shape or form, it's a flipping horrific disguise, this thing. If you meet it in its dark form, and it absolutely controls the mindset of humanity. And this is the, you know, we understand this in the revolution. This is the bedrock of the revolution, you know, and it's a revolution of consciousness. It's a revolution of minds. And superheroes have very, 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 very powerful minds. And although we can accomplish almost extraordinary feats of physical work and achievement in our days, we can also accomplish far, 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 far greater things in the realm of imagination. So I would like to encourage us all to imagine. Just imagine yourself that powerful. You know, how powerful would you have to be on top of all of the psychic forces in the world? How you can make them so small, 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 the worst things you can think of. And if you keep the gratitude attitude going, it keeps you out of that arena of your mind anyway. You know, one of the things we are is 99% solution-oriented. That's just what we do, okay? We give you solutions. 99% of your, any kind of neurosis, our stories, dramas, discomfort, pain, is just a story that there is a solution for in the moment, right here, right now. You see? That's why it's Success Ultra Now. It's the instant application of the wisdom of the superfood, the super herb, the elixir of life, the fountain of youth, the immortality spiral for your consciousness. Stay in gratitude and stay hydrated is the two most powerful things you can do. Stay in gratitude, stay hydrated, and have essential oil of sage stocked up in your house, essential oil of sage stocked up in your house, like 7 bottles of essential oil of sage. And you're prepared for anything just with those 3 things. What are they? Can you remember? Do you remember everything that we say? Do you write it down? Do you study it? Do you apply it? Just in the first thing, I just want to give a recontextualizing of how powerful superhero training is. Now, I could talk about levels of consciousness, which is the most powerful thing. I could talk about that all day, and there's nothing I could say about it, about more than how powerful the silent observance of that is. So we don't make any secret about it. The poise that you need to develop. You need to develop poise, you see, and that's what meditation does. That's what breathing does. That's what getting up early in the morning and doing sitting meditation does. That's what yogic practice does. That's what stillness and silence and breath alone give you. You see? That's why Mike says 10,000 hours, 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 yeah? Unless you're like Trinity, you know, or Neo, or Morpheus and those guys. How are you using your mind, the orientation of your psyche? I'll give you an example. Now, I'm not blowing my own trumpet here, so please don't get me wrong. But billionaires live around here in these here parts of the world, and they have been known to partake with $1,000 an hour for my time, just to hear these words of wisdom that I may speak. The silence and the stillness you pick up in the early morning hours, and you take that into the day. Before you go to sleep at night, go to sleep doing Gerald O'Donnell to take you in the deepest realms of delta wave, where you can move out of the astral realms of consciousness in your dream time. You see, really and truly, we could say 99% of the game is won and lost between 7 o'clock at night and 7 o'clock in the morning, those 12 hours. Win or lose the game, the whole thing gone, over, until the next day. Do you know what I mean? Things are powerful right now, very, very powerful. These moons, they're going to come through creation in the next few months. If they are not already, utterly and completely shuddering your world with their power and their influence, then you're not paying attention. You're insensitive. And souls are very sensitive. That's why we practice soul consciousness. And I'll just give you an example of the consciousness that I was holding before I got onto this conversation. So I was standing on a windy, grassy, tree-lined, very, very quiet in the countryside lane, country lane. And I was marveling at the beauty of nature. And I was practicing Angel Qigong and Archangel Qigong for about 30 minutes or maybe 25 minutes before the call. And then I realized that I was too low down in the valley where I was, and I would have to drive up the hill to the top of the valley onto the hilltops here, where I'm looking at the ocean now and watching the angels for sure, and the whales, and I'm watching starships, fleets of starships just hovering out there above the skies of Kauai. And I'm in a portal, and I know I'm in a portal. The whole world is a portal. The whole world is a portal. The whole planet is a portal. And in truth, every one of your cells is a portal. Think about that, 100 trillion cells, more cells than grains of sand on any beach anywhere in the world. More cells. All portals, your heart is a portal, and your soul most definitely is a portal. So I am a portal, and I'm in a portal. I also live in a house that just happens to be, guess what, a portal. That means my life is very magical. And I'm ashamed of myself that I don't appreciate it more. And I was down on the ground doing ho'oponopono into the land, into the soil, the same land that I work, that I give my heart and soul and body and mind to day after day after day after that day. And I was saying, sorry, baby. I'm so, so sorry. So sorry. That's what I was doing before I got on this call. And then I just thought to myself, well, you know, you need to be on top of this psychic thing. You need to be on top of evil as a superhero so powerfully beyond. So how are you going to do that? Yeah, you got to practice. Yeah, you got to train. But you also got to just remember and hold your mindset in a very specific way, a specific way that you find only in superhero training on the Angel Qigong video, Angel Qigong PDF files, Angel Qigong audio files, and Angel Qigong psychological system. And in that, you learn something very essential, and I call that essential component Archangel Qigong. So I just want you to use your imaginations for a moment and imagine yourself as archangels. How big are you? What is the vista, your landscape? In what, over what dimensions do you, is your domain? Are you static? Do you stand there like a bridge, like a gigantic angelic bridge over the ages, between the ages? Or do you move sometimes through the mythology of creation to slay great demons of foul intent? See? You see, it's through the mythology, it's through the stories and the understanding of mythology and the reading of mythology, brought to you beautifully through superhero training, through the stories in Amazing Grace, the stories that you can get by listening to Joseph Campbell. All Joseph Campbell audio files is part of the superhero training study. I've studied that. That's my favorite library. I was listening to that on the way up the hill, and it was almost bringing me to tears, that the perfect information that was being shared there. So humbling. So here we are, we happy few. And I'm so glad to be part of this merry band of beautiful souls spiraling out from Michael McIntosh and Taylor Core.
Yeah. Taylor, anything you want to share about psychic attacks?
Well, I just peel myself off the portal gateway there from Mr. Good's download.
Yeah, baby. Channeling Hawaii.
Keep busting it open over there, Nick.
Channeling Kauai, so check this out. This is big news and total newsflash. The Galactic Fleet is now stationed directly over Nomiland. You'll be very glad to hear. One of the commanders is in the house and has been for the last 2 days. And I can tell you astonishing changes are occurring energetically on every level. So we are rejoicing.
Hallelujah. Yeah, well, I didn't really know that was news. I always thought that that was the case over there at Noni Land. Well, just on the topic of psychic attack, I might add to what Mr. Goon said that light and love conquers and prevails above all else. You know, the energy of nuclear fusion, or, you know, the most whatever possibly destructive energy one could conjure up in this world and other worlds beyond, is but a speck, less than a speck, not even measurable substance to the power and energy of love and light. And that is the shield, that is the embodiment, that is the cloak that a superhero takes on and lives in. And, you know, I remember once I was driving along and I heard this, it was St. Patrick's Day, and they had this story of St. Patrick on NPR, which I didn't even know really that anything about St. Patrick's, but essentially they had this whole story about how he was confronting, which I missed what he was confronting, but it was the worst possible thing that you can imagine, the most profound psychic attack of all, the worst thing you could possibly conjure up, he was faced with. And he stopped and stood, and he connected, he just looked and he realized, well, this is just going to take me down. This is just going to be the end of me. This is it. He really looked at his ultimate fear, of the fear of all fears, head on. And all that he could say in that moment, he then said. And it was so profound that I had to pull over off the side of the road, for certainly I probably would have, who knows what happened. And I sat there, and I was my whole body was shaking. And what he said when he was, you know, staring down the worst possible fear of all fears, death of all deaths, attacks of all attacks, was the light before me, the light behind me, the light beneath me, the light above me, and the light within me is everything always and shall prevail without end. And when he said that, that was it. I realized in that instant that is all there is to say. That is all there is. And it just filled my being with something that I can't even describe in words, because it is without words. But what that is ultimate power, is ultimate presence, is ultimate soul consciousness. And that, in the face of any attack, is the ultimate triumph, shall we say. And that has always remained to me is just one of the most amazing moments. I can just go back to it at any moment, at any time, and recall that and sum that up. And we are light. And if we connect with that, that is what, who we are, and it gives us the greatest possible power above all and everything. This is the ultimate power. It is all. And that's what I have to say.
Thank you, Taylor.
You're welcome.
Yay.
And thank St. Patrick, too, I suppose.
Absolutely. And just my 10 cents on the matter is, when it comes to psychic attacks, I think at the end of the day, it's good to remember that positive, powerful, pure vibrations are fundamentally thousands, if not millions of times more powerful than negative vibrations. So anyone sending psychic attack is coming from a negative place. And the more purity and peace we have in our lives, the more we basically literally create a circle of light around us, like as if an orb or a bubble or a big aura of protection. And really, I feel it's important for us to be aware that we have this aura around us anyway. Everyone has it. And just be aware that you have that. And strengthen it through the practices, through the Manmanabhava and the various spiritual practices that we recommend and other things that you do that work for you, just to really imagine you're in a golden light all around you. Because we have this ability, and the more we have that, when people send out vibrations, like I'm sure you're aware that as soon as you have a thought, that thought goes to the four corners of the universe instantly with the same amount of power that it was sent with. So if you think of someone with intense emotion and power, they're going to pick that up immediately, no matter where they are in the universe. And so it's almost like we're living inside a constant Wi-Fi, worldwide Wi-Fi, worldwide internet of everyone's thoughts. That's how come we can pick up thoughts. That's where songs come from. We're all connected, the unconscious, the collective unconscious. We're just living in it all the time. So that's just there, and there's nothing we can do about it. But we can put the aura around us so that we protect ourselves from those things arriving through our little bubble. And ultimately, it's a bit like, if someone sends you spam emails and you click bounce, it bounces back. And after a while, they'll give up spamming you because it's not reaching, you know. So just imagine you just press bounce to that and you have this aura and it just bounces off your light. So I think that's a little just practical visualization you can use, and just realize that just by being in a pure vibration in itself, that really shifts things.
That's right. That's right. That's good, mate. That's practical. Here's another practical thing as well. You can, we're shamanic too. We're cosmic, but we're shamanic too. And so you can use the elements. You can use the elements for cleaning your field, especially fire. So it's good to make a fire and hang out by the fire and let the fire clean your field as well. And that's if it gets in, if it's already kind of got into your field, if you've let it in, you can clean it with fire. It's a good idea to do that because our emotional bodies, it's fascinating the way the psyche is formed, because there's an emotional body, which is the astral body, which picks up all of the sticky stuff and reinforces the physical experience. And so purifying that field with the fire is a very smart thing to do. It's one of the highest yogic practices, and hardly any of them, I think it's safe to say, honest to say, ever forget that. If you want to keep your energy field clean, sleep with a fire. That's an old yogic immortality secret.
Yeah, and I would just add to that water as the bath, as is the Bath queen here.
Why have you?
No, the other day my mother was rushed to the emergency room because she fainted while she was working out in the gym. And, you know, I haven't been into a hospital for, I don't even know how long. And so I went to, you know, find out just what was happening there. And as soon as I walked into the hospital, I had this experience of just, boom, you know, just every possible electrical device that was at running there. I could just, you know, all the x-ray machines, all the people, all the, you know, just pretty much everything that was there in that, those big sliding doors opened, I walked in, and it just, you know, because I don't really go into places like these, as a rule. And I literally, it caught me off guard, and I realized, whoa, you know, I'm not in my house anymore. And I turned around and walked back out. And I stood outside, and I took the moment to just close down my energy field and encase myself, like in what Michael was saying, just in this complete bubble of purity. Just complete bubble of purity. And I mean, I literally did a 180-degree turnabout. Walked out, stood there, only just a few minutes, and then I walked back in and again. It was night and day. I actually felt like it was just this whole golden pathway had been cleared. And every single thing that I had felt in that incident before was gone. It was just gone. And I ended up, you know, spending, I think, 6 or 7 straight hours sitting in the emergency room with my mother there, who in the end was just a fine dandy and everything, no problem. But it was really like being an alien, like just being that whole world, just watching that whole world go by. And it was a busy day because it was the full moon. So there was a lot to watch. And you know, I got out of there, and the very first thing I thought was, all right, you know, time for a bath, you know, a major bath. Now, you know, of course, if I was in Hawaii, I'd go jump in the ocean. But, you know, I recreate a bath here. You know, I have Dead Sea Salts. I have all the whole bit, you know, essential oils, like Nick was saying. And, you know, I have candle by the bath. So I have all these elements, and I just, boom, you know, it's like, all right, this is how we'll deal with this. And, you know, there is so much power in the basic elemental. You know, I went out, I took off my shoes, I stood on the ground. I went then and got into the bathtub. You know, so it was earth, fire. You know, I had candles, I had water. You know, all those things immediately just completely eradicate. I mean, it's mind-boggling just what that can do to completely shift and clear the field. And I find I'll use that regularly throughout the day, those things, fire, earth, water, air. You know, just constantly get, you know, like I'll get up from my computer, I'll go outside, I'll deep breathe, I'll stand on the ground, I'll take a bath, I'll jump in the ocean, whatever it is to continuously cleanse and purify and move stuff out. You're just moving, I do natural chi movement, just moving things out. And now more than ever, we really are being called upon to use the basic tools, shamanic tools, that we have to do that just with everything, no matter what we're dealing with, even if it isn't going to an emergency room, just life, just every single day, life. And I can't say enough about how I don't know that I would really could be able to be of much use or service without continually maintaining and the maintenance of purification on high. I call it purification on high. It's so essential to us as superheroes and sensitive soul conscious beings. And it needs to be. And, you know, my mother, she came home and she just went to get into bed. I'm like, what? How could she possibly get it? She's had x-rays. She's been in an ambulance. She's been in a hospital. But, like, the very thought of it was, I couldn't even imagine that. So, yeah, I think the more we can make routines and make it a practice to continuously throughout our day look to see how we can purify ourselves, how we can shift and move our energy, the less drama and stress and constriction we'll have.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. You know, this, I think just a few other things related to this, you know, like Taylor was saying, baths are good with salt. Jumping in the ocean, like we're so blessed to be here in Hawaii because absolutely, matter of fact, every time I jump in the ocean, I come out feeling cleansed. It's quite incredible, the power of the ocean. It really, really amazing. I really love just jumping in. And it really, it's just day and night, the difference. But not everyone has warm oceans right now where they are, so that's not an option to some people. But baths with salt is good. Sage is good, just saging your house, wandering around. Animals, if you look at animals, when they have traumatic experiences, they shake it out. They actually, you see them shaking, they'll shake out the trauma out of their being. Literally shaking is good. I do that sometimes, shake. Another thing you can do is to pour water into a glass before you go to sleep, and then in the morning just pour it out. You know, it just, the energy goes in the water, you just pour it out. Another thing is just clearing your space, just cleaning stuff and throwing things away. I mean, basically, we pick up energy every day, all the time. We can't help it. That's just the way it is. We pick up physical things, we pick up psychic things, we can pick up all kinds of things. So it's, we have to have this process of regularly clearing and cleansing, you know, and that, of course, includes our mind. We have to write. That's why having a journal, all the stuff in the Subhuro training, all the different protocols, if you do them, you will have a complete clearing process that you do, you know. Wake up and you get, before you go to bed, you get super clear, you clear things. When you wake up, you get super clear, have gratitude. The whole day stop and go beyond and do all these practices, all this stuff. If we actually do it, you're going to have that beautiful bubble of light around you, and you're going to have clearing going on all the time. And I regularly get rid of 20% of everything I own, and it's actually getting very, very challenging to do that because I hardly have anything to get rid of. I keep doing it, but it's a good job. This is, you know, springtime is coming, so it's a perfect opportunity for spring clearing. So just, you know, remove stuff and shake it out, have baths, showers, salt, sage. These are all extremely powerful things, and just surrounding yourself with light. Powerful stuff. So, let's just see if we have any other questions. If anyone has any last questions now and you're online, just feel free to pop them in the box. What have we got here? Oh, here we go. Here's one about sleep. Sleep and its role, importance, and ways to get full, healthy sleep without disturbing or upsetting one's flow. I seem to be most productive at the end hours of the day. How do I work with healthy sleep patterns and natural flow in an optimal way? Taylor, do you want to take that one?
Well, I'm not clear of the question exactly.
Well, the question is, if somebody likes to, you know, in the evening gets a lot done, kind of the creativity comes in the evening, but she also wants to have sleep, good sleep. It's like a balance between, if I understand the question correctly, get
Gerald O'Donnell. Gerald O'Donnell's the best way to transition into sleep for a superhero because he gets delta wave nourishment and it gets you out of the astral dreaming realm. That's very important to evade those psychic forces. Most people have watched computers before they go to sleep or watch a movie. You know, they go to sleep in an agitated psychological state and therefore stay in the astral plane in their dream time. And so superheroes want to be out of that and beyond that, or at the very least, you know, flipping consciously awake in it, you know, like lucid dreaming. So the only way to achieve those states of being, if you're not doing you know, super hardcore soul conscious meditation, following Mike's deep relaxation stuff and going beyond, is to go through the Gerald O'Donnell portal. Super important in the psychic orientation you're going into dream time. And then you can pick it up again in the morning with your morning practice, with your yogic consciousness.
Yeah, that's good stuff. But if anyone is wondering where this Gerald O'Donnell stuff is, it's under part one of the bonus audios. And you know, a lot of people have actually told me that they've been listening to the completely relaxed audio that I created for you guys, and that's been knocking them out. Any kind of deep meditation is going to knock you out. And also the other thing about this question about being inspired late at night and doing the work, the thing is that once you get in any kind of habit, it's just a habit. It's a pattern. And I remember at one point in my life, I used to get inspired at pretty much 8 o'clock at night consistently. So I would be like, nothing really coming through. As soon as it hit 8 o'clock, all of a sudden, I've got all this energy and I might stay up till like 3 in the morning or something doing all this work, which messed up my day because then I get up late and... So, but I don't do that anymore. Sometimes, now and again I do, actually, but very, very rarely. So, I think if you just start getting up early, because I highly recommend everyone gets up early. There's something magical about the early morning hours. And if you get up early, you'll find that that same inspiration after a while comes early in the morning. It might not be there initially. It might be a bit of a weird transition. But after a couple of weeks, your same level of inspiration will be there. So on the one hand, it's good to follow the flow of the inspiration, and I fully agree with that. But on the other hand, if it's messing up your sleep, I recommend that you just go to bed so you can get up early. And then you really get in the habit of that, and you'll find that the creativity starts coming at different times of the day. And because creativity isn't based on the time of day, it's based on you. And we're very adaptable human beings, so you can experiment with that. And I really think it's extremely important to get that deep delta sleep. It really makes a huge difference. Sleep deprivation is a tremendous traumatic influence on people's lives. If everyone in the world just got a good night's sleep, the whole world would be a far better place right now. So, you can do that. Just knock yourself out with some good meditation, clear the day, and you'll start finding inspiration comes at other times of the day. That would be my recommendation.
Hooray, brother. Well said, mate.
Yeah, Taylor, any last thoughts on this wonderful topic?
Yeah, I would say the same thing. I think it's just a matter of reversing the equation. I suspect why it comes then is because you've stopped doing things, and your day's done. You're off. So it's kind of like, that's when ideas can pour in because you've checked off. You're off the time clock, but in truth, there's that even more power and magic available when everyone is asleep. Because, at 8 o'clock, a lot of people are just starting to get going, like you're feeling that you are. But if you switch that equation up and imagine and just ask for the best inspiration ever in those early hours, go to sleep early, get really deep, restful, restorative sleep, which is what you get when you sleep between the hours of 9 and 3, 4 in the morning anyways. That is the most restorative, nurturing, renewing sleep. And then really just set your vector for that you're going to use those early morning hours to just get maximum inspiration. You will, if that's what you set aside that time for. Because right now you've setting aside that 8 to whatever time for that. Just switch the equation and you'll get it all. You'll get restful sleep, and then you also get the inspiration that you want. And to start your day like that is really, there's just no comparison between that and just jumping up and boom, headlong into your day. It's almost like, for me anyways, the day's already over when people are just starting to wake up, and then I'm in a whole different place of enjoying and watching the day go by versus being in some kind of busy mode of the day. It shifts the whole energy of the day. I suspect not only will you have the inspiration you're looking for, but it'll even be better. It'll even be purer without any distraction. And you can even be more of an opening to receive.
Hey, Taylor, what was the prayer, the beneath, above, within, around, with the light? What was all the words?
The light beneath me, the light above me, the light behind me, the light in front of me, the light within me. That's so powerful. It's just so powerful, that thing.
What's the last bit?
And
shall prevail?
And shall prevail above all else. And I just now energetically do that, you know, as a rule. And I, you know, the other thing I might say is, you know, the Gerald O'Donnell stuff is one path, but we can also set our own intention. You know, I every single night before I go to sleep, I do that, just that. I call forth the light in that way. But then I also really ask for, the highest possible work to be done during that time at the level of my soul, both for renewal, for complete rejuvenation of all my cells. I have a whole little list that I go through every night that I really set an intention, because I kind of look, you know, it's kind of like what I do before I go on any little trip. I always make a little, I take the time and I say, okay, here's all the intentions I'm setting for this adventure or this trip. This is all the things I want to experience. This is what I want to have happen. This is what's going to occur. And I write them all down, and I spell it all out. And always at the end of every trip I go on, when I come back and review that, every single one of those things has been ticked off, without a doubt. Every single one of those things. And so I look at sleep as the same way, that I'm going on an adventure into another realm, and I set my intentions. I set my vector. I set my what it is I intend to accomplish, how it is I want to wake up, what it is I'm going to use that time, that magical, mystical dream state, otherworldly adventure and exploration, because that's what's going on there, for. And I do that every single night without fail. And I have found it to be with, you know, it's Michael's saying, well, you're going to want to put in 10,000 hours. Well, there's a good solid 8 right there.
Huh.
And they're an easy 8, because the mind is checked out and we have direct access to our higher self and subconscious. And so I look at that as the easy 8. That's where I'm going to make up major time, evolutionary, you know, pathways there, boy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, anything maybe I'm fussing around with, like trying to figure out or wanting to get resolution on, man, I set my intention before I go to sleep that it shall resolve itself, and I will wake, or I will know, or it will shift by virtue of me simply going to sleep.
Yeah.
So, you know, I look at it as the most constructive part of my day, really. And because my mind is not running the show.
Yeah.
It's not in the way. And all the guidance I need, all the insights, all the inspiration, it's all just going to pour right in there. And then I'm going to wake up overflowing with that to go into the rest of my day. I'm going to be filled to the brim. And there I am, ready to go. Fill her up. You know, I lay down like, fill her up. You know, fill me up. You know, here I go. And, you know, that's kind of the way I look at going to sleep. I really look at going to sleep like becoming awake. You know, awakening to the new levels of my being, you know, in exciting, non-physical ways without any limitations whatsoever. At all, emotionally, physically, mentally, spiritually, all bets are off. All limitations are off. All gates are open. You know, like
yeah,
I'm saying, the portholes that you just turn up the dial.
That's right.
Yay. Yeah, sleep is beautiful, pure beingness, you know, and I like to go into the divine light, go into the world of peace, just to like float away and just be beyond, and it's such a deep, 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 beautiful experience. Deep,
yeah,
you know, wake up with joy in the heart, deep peace, you know, we know we're onto a good thing when we wake up with joy, and we wake up stoked, we wake up with a big smile, a big grin, and excitement, and peace, and that should be really ultimately how we live our lives, and that's very, very possible, but just requires that little bit of practice in the evening, just to take that extra time and really get that sorted out so that we wake up in the right way.
Yeah.
Details. All the little details make all the difference in the end.
Yeah. Well, make sure you got a bit of chocolate in your diet as well at the right time. Get your brain chemicals all perfectly positioned for that. Brother Michael likes a little chocolate in his diet every now and again, don't you, bro?
Just a little bit of chocolate now and again.
Even the great sage himself has been known to come down from the top of the mountain after days on end of silence for a little morsel of chocolate, haven't you, bro?
That's right, Vella. Just a little nibble.
<I'm>
Magical.
I suspect there's a little bit more than a nibble going on over there.
Well, we don't want to say too much, Taylor. You know how surveillance is at the moment in the world. But let's just say that things are rumbling over here around Brother Michael's kitchen.
That's right.
Well,
let's move on
to the next question then, shall we?
Yes, sir.
How to make chocolate. The next question we have is angels. How can you speak about getting into deeper contact with our angels and the invisible spirit world? By a teaser of Vancouver.
Super question. Well, Taylor Call, I think you should tell the unicorn story here.
Yeah, okay. Well, the answer to that question is, you know, in my humble opinion, to set your intention for such. To be an opening to receive and ask for it and look for it and expect it. You know, and that really is the precursor to all, as far as I can tell, angelic, otherworldly, magical, mystical encounters, relationships, and opportunities for connection. And, you know, one such story which Nick is referring to is I really, you know, Kauai is just a magical place, just period, just teeming with magic and wondrous possibilities. And I was I just put together a course that we were leading called Pristine Power And I needed a photograph for it. And, you know, I had it all done, everything written up, but I needed a photograph. And so I was asking, waiting, looking. And I kept asking, and because I have 50 billion photographs, and I thought, well, maybe I have a photograph here. And I kept hearing, no, 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 you need to go take it. You need to go take it. And so I thought, all right, you know, that's fair enough. I'm in Kauai. If you can't get a pristine power photograph here, where on earth can you? So I went out and asked to be shown the perfect photograph, and I did this for about a week straight. Nothing was really happening. I mean, they were okay, but, you know, they were typical things, like rainbows and things you've seen maybe in a million times. And I knew that just wasn't it. It needed to be something spectacular. It needed to be something special. And nothing was coming together, but time was ticking away. I had to get this thing sent out. And finally, I just said, look, it was like the last day that I had any possible time, you know, to turn it all around, do everything that needed to happen. I said, this is it. This is the day. I need to have the photograph, and I don't want just anything. I want it to just be the photograph that's just going to blow everything else all away. It needs to be profound, incredible, and special. So Jeff and I load ourselves into our vehicle, and I said, Jeff, you know, I told him what I wanted. I said, this is what we're going to do. We're going to go out. We're going to find the most magical thing on this island that just represents total and complete pristine power, and we're going to take a picture of it. So we loaded ourselves in the car with that intention, and we knew to head to the North Shore because that's where all the magic happens. And we drove out there. I was all excited, and I just had my ears and eyes pierced because this was it. It had to happen today because it was the last possible day. And so we were just searching. We were kind of driving slow, you know, be on the lookout for magic to just pop up. And, you know, I had my camera all poised and ready. And, you know, we were rounding the bend into the more magical, mystical parts of the island. And all of a sudden, it started to rain, which I was a little, disturbed by, because how are you going to get a good picture in the rain? But, I just kept holding a steady intention. And there it was. The rain was coming down in the mist. But, you know, all kinds of things could happen in the mist, I said to myself. And we rounded the bend, and out of the corner of my eye caught this just a sudden, strange, like, glimpse of another world. Something just, you know, somehow you just catch something out of the corner of your eye. But it was just so fast, and it just didn't fit any reality in my head. And then it happened to both Jeff and I at the same time, and simultaneously we said, did you see that? Like, and we realized that there was something that occurred. And we stopped the car, and we backed up, and there, on the right, just out of nowhere, it was this fine little mist that was occurring. You know, Hawaiians have 50 different names for rain there, like people, like Eskimos have for snow. It was one of these heavenly mist of a rain, and it was just coming down ever so magically, and the clouds just parted there as for an instant, and there, in pure, pristine power, stood a flawless white unicorn. I mean, just as clear as day, just boom, looking us straight in the eyeballs. It was like all time stopped. And I'm telling you, it was like it just fell down from heaven. Because first of all, if there's a white horse on the island of Kauai, it will be red or orange because there's red dirt everywhere. You never see a pure white horse. This thing was so pure white, it only could have fallen from the sky, and its eyelashes were pure white. The whole thing was just, and everything, every little hair was perfectly in place. The mane, the whole thing. We were both speechless. And there we sat. We were in the car. We couldn't even move. We just had backed up, and boom, there it was. And then I realized I had to take a picture. You know, I had to get my body to cooperate and pick the camera up off my lap and shoot, you know, a shot, you know, take a shot of this thing, which somehow I managed to do. I have no idea how. And because we were just sitting there in complete and total awe, and I somehow managed to pick the camera up, take a picture, and almost the minute that the camera snapped, we heard a horn honk, because we were sitting literally in the middle of the road, and just like that, boom, it was gone. Everything was gone. The clouds moved over. It started pouring down rain. It was just boom, just gone, just like that, gone, boom. And, of course, I wouldn't even believe it happened because all this happened like an instant. It seemed like an eternity, of course, but it wasn't. Except that I had one and only one picture. One and only one picture. And, you know, in looking back on that, it could only have happened that it was clear that I had set the parameters. We had set an intention. We were on a mission. We were on the mission to find magic. And I wasn't going to settle for anything other than that. I didn't want just some little magic like a rainbow. I wanted full on, full out, over the top, you know, invincible. I wanted to have an invincible magic, pristine power. And that's what happened.
Yay.
And isn't that right,
Taylor, you showed me that photograph on the very afternoon of that day.
That's
and
right.
I'll never forget the day as long as I live, because it was in a very, very mystical day. And I happened to be at Hanalei at the same time it was raining when Taylor was looking for this magical experience. And I got up to Hanalei Bay, and I went down to the ocean. And I was going to have a walk on the beach, and I saw to my amazement that there was fabulous, fabulous giant waves breaking. And it was a perfect kind of a day, because on account of the low pressure system, and what was very, very unusual was that it was so misty, it was actually foggy. Most unusual in Kauai. I've never seen another foggy day. And I've been here 7 years and 2 years on Oahu. So in 9 years, the only day I've seen where they had fog. And so I was there, and I didn't have a surfboard. And I thought, wow, I've got to get out here. This is absolutely flipping on right now. So I walked to the end of the beach, where I knew I could rent a very large, blue, thick board. And I rented it and walked down, jumped off the pier, and paddled out into the mist. And it was a day, if you can imagine the ocean, it was very big. The swells were moving around. Everything was very big. And the swells were really driving some water through. And it was obvious there was going to be big, powerful waves. So on account of that, it was extremely dangerous zone that I was paddling into on this board. So I was being very cautious in terms of the line that I was choosing to paddle out to sea into the mist. And while I was going out there on the corner of the reef, where often not unusual to see a turtle, and this particular day, sure enough, a turtle came up out of the water. But on this particular day, there was something most unusual about it. Not only was the turtle closer to me than I'd actually experienced a wild turtle before, it was also a very, very large turtle. Definitely the largest one I've ever seen and to date. The size of its head, of this turtle, well, it was as big as a small watermelon. And it has a particular kind of a shape, a diamond head, the turtle does. But the most amazing thing about this very, very, very ancient creature of the sea was on top of its head, it actually had a gigantic crown. And the crown was made out of hordes of giant barnacles encrusted on this turtle's giant head. And his crown of barnacles was equally the size of his head, which was already a gigantic head by my standards. And he had this thing the size of a good size, you know, a medium watermelon, a young one. One of those things. Diamond-shaped head and a pyramid-shaped crown of barnacles. And he looked at me straight in the eye. And I fell off my surfboard in amazement and hung onto my board and looked him in the eyes. And the only man I saw in the mist that day paddled past me and gave me a shaka, a Hawaiian shaka. And he was a little skinny guy who looked like Robinson Crusoe. And it was the first day I ever met this man, who now, and has been ever since, a great mentor of mine. His name is John Peck. He paddled out past me, and he looked into my eyes as well. And John Peck, just for some icing on the cake of this mystical day when Taylor saw the unicorn, and incidentally, that place, that photograph, I saw that photograph, and the unicorn was looking through the gap in a stone wall, if you can imagine this. It was a perfect summer's day, and there was a beautiful, beautiful stone wall that someone had obviously built it, probably a man, or maybe some, you know, like dwarves or hobbits or Manahunis, something like that, or a man. And this beautiful stone wall, the kind of stone wall that you might expect to see in very few places in the world now, maybe some windy lane in Portugal, in the gorgeous orchards of Portugal, or maybe somewhere in Italy, or New Zealand perhaps, in the old country. And in this wall, there was a kind of a hole, a gap, in like the top third of the wall where the rocks had fallen down. Old rocks, old stones had fallen down. And they all had their story of moss and how long they'd been there. And I saw this photograph and I studied it. And there, through the gap in the rocks, leaning across, was, in my opinion, a young unicorn. Not a baby, but quite a youthful one. And it was absolute privilege to have the confirmation that a creature like that exists and treads its feet in this world. And a reminder to all of us that in our imaginations, through the portal of the living soul, manifesting in the living waters, we can take that into our imagination. And the practice of Angel Qigong, Archangel Qigong especially, which has this animal magic part of the soul. And you can meditate on that and what all that means to you and bring the mystical creature. You see, I'll tell you one thing. The beast has to be tamed. The beast has to be utilized. I wouldn't say tamed. It's not quite the word, but it has to be brought under absolute control of the presiding soul, of the sovereign soul, else the beast runs amok and does terrible, terrible, terrible things. So the creature has a good side and a bad side. The bad side is the monstrous side. And we've heard this from many schools of thought, that we are a monster seed. We have been described as a monster seed by some of the star beings, the star people. And a very important component in the star civilization, this particular component, for all it's worth, has completely dominated the reptilian life form that exists in that realm and has bullied and brutalized other life forms in that realm. This particular group has completely subdued them and uses them as allies. And we could say from a mythological perspective, of course they have. But what does it mean to you as a superhero in the world, as Neo and Trinity in the Matrix? What does it mean to you? Because you need a download. what the Matrix is telling you, what being a superhero is all about, what David Rolfe wrote about in our book Amazing Grace, and you should listen to the audio files. That's the definite immersion for the superhero consciousness. We can be immersing ourselves in that information while we're driving around in the car. What he said was that if we don't subdue the beast will destroy us. It will gobble us up. And in yogic mythology, it's communicated as the genie, the hungry genie that the guy tells him to go up and down the ladder all day. We have to use the beast, and the beast is worth studying. You see? That's why the Sufis were into the animal part of the soul. And of course the shamans are into the animal part of the soul. The Native American Indians are. Most indigenous cultures are. And the yogis, the really hardcore yogis, you see, we've been saying for years that we're immortal yogi superheroes. We were saying this before we even did one thing towards setting up superhero training, before we even started successultranow.com. It's an ancient mythology in our culture that we are immortal yogi superheroes. That's what we are. So what does that mean here, right here, right now, in terms of how you manage the beast? You see, the unicorn is a wondrous, super high octave of our animal, part of our soul. It's an angel animal. So it represents the absolute opposite manifestation to the monstrous beast that John Peck has seen. He's met Beelzebub. This man that paddled past me on the day Taylor Call saw the unicorn, maybe at the exact same moment that I was seeing the king of the turtles, the ancient creature of the sea, John Peck paddled past me, the only man I know who has stood face to face with Beelzebub. I know John Varlel Melchizedek has stood face to face with Lucifer. You see, superheroes are playing a big game, baby. We're not playing poker in the stinking little shack, freaking, you know, scummy little place. We're playing a big game. So use your imagination. Stay focused in the soul consciousness and the secrets of the breath, because that's what's going to keep you stabilized. At the end of the day, you're not even a little dust mote in a great tornado. You're not even a little dandelion seed flitting across the meadow like thistle down. You're not even the most fragrant blossom on one of these trees. This is all the Matrix, baby. Gerard O'Donnell explains to us that our form is non-vibrational light. Lucifer's light and the light of the world, the light of the manifestation of creation, we could say the reflection of God in another language, a mythological language, is the Matrix. The person listening to this, the person that signed up for superhero training, we can assume has not extricated their selves, their programming, their conditioning from the Matrix yet. And he's on superhero training in order to accomplish that through a demonstration. And along the way, we happy few, Taylor, Michael, and I, we give you the verbal key, supported by the practice, which is absolutely foundational and brilliant. It all is, and the content is being upgraded all of the time. And you are being cultivated as senior students and teachers and professors and ministers in the faculty. Like we've said right from the beginning, we're farming geniuses, masterpieces. You see? and you're part of the groundswell of that, the first waves of the most amazingly inspiring revolution on the face of the earth, fulfilling all the prophecies as well, the Rainbow Warriors. But there are certain things that have to be demonstrated, and from our point of view today, they appear as impossible, miraculous, amazing. Impossible, miraculous, amazing things. And the unicorn represents that. So does the other opposite pole of abject evil. It's an impossible, miraculous, amazing thing. It is. You can't deny it. And believe you me, I've seen enough of it to know. So, we need to understand a few things. Soul consciousness exists. It is the portal to beyond. Beyond is beyond. In between here and there, in between your egoic perception, the person you think you are, the Dorothy, whatever your name is, it's a portal to beyond. Between you, who you think you are mistakenly, your ego consciousness, and that portal, there is a distance to navigate, a great distance to navigate. And that distance is navigated through practice, through very, 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 very healthy and empowering routine, locked in. So you practice a new rhythm, a new cycle, and you integrate a new rhythm, a new cycle based on what? Getting up early in the morning, thinking amazing, powerful things all day, every day, listening to amazing, powerful things all day, every day, eating amazing, powerful things all day, every day, doing amazing, powerful things all day, every day, for how long? A minimum period of 21 days. Absolutely no bullshit. And if you haven't done that, then you haven't even locked yourself into the program properly. So you can't expect to experience the totally amazing benefits from doing 40 days solid. For instance, on the I Am Wealth program, supported by all the rest of it, everything, 40 days, full blast. You can't get the guarantee that this training is worth and hit the jackpot. You see, we do amazing things, tested, done, already in the database, the books have been written, the photographs have been taken, the love stories have been lived, the mountains have been climbed and the monsters have been conquered. You know? Jeff Shaw has published all of the books. You know? It's your time for greatness. All a superhero should be preoccupied with, especially a young one in their 20s. Like, I'm 50 years old. I'm the elder. At least one of the elders in this tribe. I'm an elder. I'm talking to the youngsters. I met Michael McIntosh when he was like 23 or something. He was still at university. And I've been living mythologies already. Been living mythologies. And so we're into the youth revolution. Taylor's like, she bridges in there like I do. She's coming into the senior, you know what I mean? She's in the elder, the women's, you know, she's going into the crone status in all of her beauty and all of her magnificence. You know, she's lived mythologies in her life and experienced huge, powerful, powerful, powerful achievement. And that's what this is all about. It's like, literally, you have to be like an archangel. That's why I was asking you those questions before. Would you move? Yeah, you would. You'd stride over salvation like the beams of light shining across you know, a great, great, great old English landscape like Turner would have painted or wanted to paint, with huge ancient trees, like an African landscape with the sun shining through the clouds and all these beams. You stride like an archangel over the vast distances of time. They're nothing. The ages are nothing. An archangel can easily span 260,000 years, a young one. You see? It's about you having your mind poised to that degree of greatness. And right now, you have, we all have different aspirations. If I say, you know, I want to spend all my time in the garden, I don't want to talk to anybody on the phone. I certainly don't want to be in the house answering emails at all. I want to be in the garden all the time. If I say that, and then I say, hey, today I did 6 hours in the garden, I was stoked. That's just me. It doesn't mean you should be doing that. If Brother Michael said he'd love to spend 6 hours at the beach and he wanted to do that between 2 a.m. and 8 a.m., that's his thing. That's what he loves to do. That's his dream for his reality. But right now, he's working his ass off for you guys. And he's doing like 8 hours a day, 10 hours a day inside his house in front of computers, serving you, superheroes. But he's going to be living that dream. And we're all going to be contributing to that system. And Taylor's going to be having 7 baths a day. I vote for flotation tanks on top of the tree houses, floating in flotation tanks on top of the tree houses, looking at the stars, listening to Gerald O'Donnell. That's what I want to do. That's what I want to do, but it ain't happening for a few months. And in that time, I'm going to make sure that I set fire to the world. I set fire to the world, man. That's what I'm into, setting fire to this haystack. Because this thing's got to burn, baby. I don't want it to burn in the highest possible way that transmutes everything. But I know that even for me to accomplish that, it's got to be an absolute superhuman flipping achievement. Totally impossible without the angels, the multitudes of angels and the archangels striding with us. And the power of God and accurate meditation and focus from you guys who portend to being superheroes. But you don't get it after 6 weeks, flipping 3 months or 5 months or even 6 months. Come on. You got to put it into action. And we're giving you the kickstart of kickstarts of kickstart. And I wouldn't want to be on any other call in the world than with Taylor Call and Michael McIntosh and you guys right now.
Hallelujah.
Praise God.
Brother Nick can speak.
Occupy your bath, Taylor. You
spoken only as Brother Nick could speak from on high.
Occupy your bath. Get Jeff to get the video up on YouTube, Taylor, please. It'll be huge, and please send me that photograph.
All right, I'll do it all.
You got to do it, Taylor. That's your Mission Impossible by the end of the week, girl. Heads will roll.
It shall be done.
Oh, what do you got to say, Brother Michael?
The wonders. Yeah, 10,000 hours, you know, there's no substitute for the real thing. And I think people have got to, you know, we've all got to realize, and I really, you know, we talked to a lot of people, and some people are like, oh, I'm going through this drama and this drama. And, you know, the bottom line is 10,000 hours, 10,000 hours. Put the time in, you know. If you want mystical experiences, and if you want to really have magic happening, you've got to be dedicated to that fully, 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 you know.
Hallelujah.
I've had countless powerful spiritual experiences and all kinds of experiences, but it's because of putting myself in that situation again and again and again and again and again and again and again for the last 15 years.
Yeah.
So, you know, you can't. When I was just doing this stuff for like 1 year, 2 years, when Nick met me, I'd been on the case for about 5 years. I've now been on the case for 15 years. And it just takes time. There's a difference between how I feel now and how I felt 10 years ago, how I felt 15 years ago. So that's just the reality of it. But we're making it as easy as possible for everyone else. Just understand that we've all gone through tremendous challenges. We've all had very, very bad days. We've had very challenging experiences. And who's to say they're not going to continue happening in one way or another? But just take the time and really explore those invisible realms. You know, what started out as a theory, a nice idea on a picture, has now become something that exists just beyond my conscious awareness. Just, I almost feel these realms of light are almost just above my head now. It's not some faraway world. It's just above my head, just here. But it didn't used to be like that. It used to be some distant, funny little land that I might experience for a second or a split second once in a while. But it's just above. It's just here. It's just here. It's just. It's almost like if I put my hand up, I can touch it. But that's taken time and practice, and anyone can do it if they're prepared to put in the time. And really, we're just giving you the real deal. Everyone likes to, you know, do marketing and say, oh, there's this one thing, and all you have to do is this one thing, and that's it. But reality is, it can happen fast, it can happen in a second, but maintaining it and sustaining it and making it real, making it tangible and practical, takes time.
Yeah, and also, bro, I'd like to say that releasing the brakes and, you know, dissolving stuff that you need to let go of is going to help you experience that a lot, lot faster. Like, there's certain things you can do. Like, for instance, what I've been doing just lately is I've been spending time face down on the earth, either in the soil or I was on some rocks the other day, for about 40 minutes, saying I'm sorry for the way, you know, I've been treating her, where the way people have been treating her, doing ho'oponopono. And those kind of practices supercharge your progress. Prayer. I guarantee anyone who does Howard Wilsey's prayers, as he recommends several times a day for 21 days, will completely experience an utter shift in their reality, 100% guaranteed. If you stayed up all night doing one of Brother Michael's yoga meditations, your life would transform. There's no doubt about it. You know, I mean, it's just that's the truth of it. Some of the stuff in superhero training is that powerful that it will absolutely and totally shift your reality if you do it for an unbroken period of time. And those things I just said are definitely the most potent element that you can supercharge your progress on. And I would advise everyone to do everything right now to really hit top gear this springtime. I'm talking about right now, getting your asses into shape for the most amazing possibility this year. You're going to have to demonstrate physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. Are you capable of superhuman achievements of productivity and creativity every single day? Are you psychologically and psycho-emotionally capable of withstanding extraordinary amounts of responsibility, pressure, and stress? Can you glide like a swan through troubled waters without being in denial about anything dreadful that is happening in this world? These are good questions to ask yourself. My name's Nick Good. Uncle Nick loves you. Uncle Nick cares about you. Uncle Nick has dedicated the whole of his life to finding the information that we're sharing with you through superhero training. Brother Michael loves you, cares about you deeply, even though he may never meet you. He is absolutely motivated and inspired to stay in his office in front of his computer, figuring out the best system and the most efficient way to activate your human potential. That's what he lives for. Taylor Core loves you. She gives all her time for absolutely nothing in any way of material reward for everything she puts in and contributes to superhero training. She's just an amazing being who embodies divine love and that purity and goodness that lets her see unicorns. So go wild this year. It's all on. Keep your eyes peeled because Nick Good is going to be doing a superhero tour through the United States of America, definitely down the West Coast. So you can tune in with me if you would be willing to host and promote some awesome superhero events. So I'm going to sign off now because I've got some guests I'm going to take care of. Thanking Taylor and Michael deeply. Thank you, Brother Michael, gracious hosting. Loving you, Taylor, so very, very much.
Thank you, Nick. We love you.
Love you. Aloha.
Hey, bro, can I call around after the market?
Sure, I might not be here, though, but give me a call.
All right, mate. Later, later.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just want to comment on a few things Nick just said there. One is the Nick Good Tour. You know, this is just a huge opportunity.
Yeah.
You know, I would definitely find out the you know, we could post it, the pathway that Nick's going to be traversing across the continent. But, you know, the real opportunity is to bring the superhero training into your world, you know, off your computer, into your world, into your community, to share with your friends and your family. And, you know, a lot of other superheroes are arranging evenings, invitational evenings, where people can, you can invite your friends and family to come, and Nick will come and share, you know, like Nick does. Who knows? You never know when Nick will share, but it'll be good. And he's, you know, the best storyteller ever. And really talk about the superhero program such that you can build your own community right there in your life, you know, to be on the program with other people. You know, that's what's so great is all of us have the opportunity in Hawaii to hang out, to get together, to talk, to really live this in our lives. And there's, I mean, that's the best thing ever is to have in your life a community of superheroes, not just on the virtual, you know, social network. And so I really encourage, you know, Michael, we'll let people know where Nick's going to be when, but if you're somebody who wants to really have Nick, host Nick, invite other people and include people in your life in this opportunity, you know, seize the day and the opportunity. And the other thing I just want to add is what you were saying, Michael, is, you know, I think the other really important component besides practice and really embracing this whole thing is loving it. wanting it and loving it. Like, we love. This is our top priority in our life, is our spiritual evolution and our commitment to it. It's what gives us the greatest joy. We love it. It's not like something we feel like we should do, something we're going to get to, something that just, you know, fills in time, but it's what we love. And I really encourage you, if it's not at that place for you, I mean, I'm assuming it is, you wouldn't have been drawn to be in this train and pay the money and come in and take all this on, but to really just create a relationship with it of pure love. It's just what you love, it's who you are, and you can hardly wait to get to it, to do it, to live it, to be it. And that's just a fundamental operating principle that assures success. Isn't that right, Mr. McIntosh?
Absolutely right. Yeah. Main thing is do what you love. Do what you love. Because everyone loves something a little bit different, and we have to work out our own way. You know, it's taken years and years and years to work this stuff out. But we're sharing loads of different things with you, but just choose the things that you love the most, whatever works for you. Don't feel guilty if you're not doing everything. Some things are more inspiring to some people, and some things more inspiring to other people. So whatever works for you is the thing to do. Whatever works for you is the thing to do. So it's very simple, and the more you love it, the more you want to do it, because we can't do things we don't like, basically. And it just takes time. Sometimes there's a bit of discipline needed, a little bit push through things, but even that, we need to love that as well. So, yay. Wonderful. Just one last thing. Brett was asking about chocolate, where to get good chocolate. I recommend Sense, S-E-N-S-E, superfoods.com. They do quality cacao. Speak to Nathaniel, SenseSuperfoods.com for your chocolate needs. And Dorothy keeps mentioning about natural chi movement. If anyone isn't doing natural chi movement, Taylor can share something about that briefly, but it's in the exercise part of the training, and there's a link, and you can find out more about it there, because very powerful practice, very, very wonderful way of shifting energy, very healthy. So Taylor, do you want to just share anything about that, and then we'll close tonight's marvelous call.
Marvelous call. I'm so inspired. I want to listen to it all over again. You know, there's a lot to say about natural chi movement, but just to keep it simple, it's really the opportunity to connect to your true nature, which is initiated by an activation from a gentleman named Tianco Ting, who's a gifted chi master, who has the ability to, you know, rather fill you back up again with your highest level of chi that you have kind of when you're 5 years old. You know, kids are just little chi balls, and they're constantly moving and self-balancing and self-correcting, like all animals. You know, we have the ability to heal ourselves, balance, heal, and restore ourselves. And we just simply stopped moving. You know, all animals know exactly what to do, how to move to heal, self-balance, and correct, like we do. And if you watch a room full of five-year-olds, that's what they're doing all day. Until, at some point, they're told to sit in chairs and stop moving. And it's not that we've lost that ability. It's still there, just like, you know, our imagination and our soul is still there, like we have as kids. But it's just, we just disconnected from it, and we aren't allowing our body to just take off and move in all sorts of random and capricious ways that it knows to do, which is different for everyone, to bring it into balance. And so the opportunity of natural chi movement is to get reactivated, which is just a remote opportunity. You know, Tianco has a gift, kind of like Mozart plays piano. He can fill you back up with your highest level of chi, and once it's full, then you can do spontaneous movement that is exactly what you need on a daily basis to bring yourself into the highest possible state of balance. And it balances everything, not just your physical, but your emotional, mental, spiritual. All of your beings are balanced, all of your levels of being are balanced instantly in the, you know, 30-minute little session. And it's the best thing ever because there's nothing to think. There's no practices, there's no forms, there's no anything you need to remember because it's your body doing what it needs to do for you, to make balance for you, which is going to be different from every single person on this call. And I discovered it years ago, and I was looking for it. I knew there had to be something. I knew that, you know, while I liked yoga, I felt like it was work. While I liked Qigong and Tai Chi, it still was all these moves. While I liked, you know, various martial arts, I had the sense that there was something that was organic and natural that didn't require any thought whatsoever, and I discovered it in natural Qi movement. And ever since, you know, it was 15 years ago. You know, I've really just made it a point because I find it's fundamental. Like for me, it's the best thing ever to just have a moving meditation to get myself in the highest possible level of connecting into my true nature to then move forward in the day. And I love it. I just love it. And it's as fundamental to me as eating well and all the other, you know, practices to give you the greatest connection to who you are in all ways. And for that reason, I do think it is fundamental.
And it's fun. I love it, Michael.
Isn't it, Michael?
Yeah, it's very fun. It's very fun, very natural, very fluid. And it really, I mean, I feel like these massive jolts of energy coming through me. It's a very beautiful thing. And it's completely natural and it's personal. And I think really we're all very individual beings. So we need to have that way of living and that expression. So it's a powerful thing for that. It's a bit strange to try and explain it because it's not a formal thing that you can look at in a particular way and everyone has the same thing. It's different. But anyway, we talk about this in the training and just wanted to bring that up because it was something maybe some people don't know about. So anyway, we've definitely given you a lot of information today. Main thing is to just focus on the basics again and again and again. Do what you love. Do what works for you. And just keep doing it until you really ground that into your practical day-to-day lifestyle and create the life that works for you. And do everything you possibly can to make your life easy and smooth. And this is what the superhero training is all about. And then you can serve the world in massive ways because you yourself are fully empowered. So, with that said, we love you guys so much and look forward to sharing more with you and refining more and more and helping you transition through this journey. Magical train that is the superhero training, and we will talk to you soon. Lots and lots of love and aloha.
Aloha.